So as you heard, my name is Ben von Raketa. It might be hard to pronounce, but some of you, that's okay, that's right. Independent consultant working in Switzerland, based in Frenchport, and doing web application stuff, consulting, mentoring, and programming. A while ago, I write on my weblog that I am fascinated by how a loose community can be efficient, given the right tools. And I'm still fascinated by how well the cocoon community, because it's the one that I know best, how well the cocoon community is doing, and I'm amazed that we are actually able to put out fairly reliable software with new features and releases and bug fixes and some documentation at regular intervals. And the power of this community is what amazes me. So in this talk we're going to talk about project tools, not coding tools. I'm not going to talk about ANT or JUnit or really technical tools, although it would be very interesting. I decided to concentrate on the project management tools. Why? Because in my consulting practice I found several customers who finally bought this idea to use lightweight tools like Bugzilla, CDS, and Weblog to coordinate their teams, and it works amazingly well for any kind of project. And as you will see, not necessarily for computer projects. Any kind of project can really benefit from these tools. You have gotten this drawing on your handout. Excuse me, this drawing. So this is basically the summary of what I'm talking about. You will see the various tools, what comes in, what goes out, and the main thing that are these questions that we are going to discuss. I'm going to speak about Bugzilla, CDS, and these are, for me, I'm using these names because that's what we use. It doesn't mean that it wouldn't work with Jira or with Subversion. It doesn't make a difference. It's the concept of these tools that's important. This one too much. I must say that these slides have been done with a tool that I like a lot, and it's a YAST sample of the Slough block of Cocoon. Don't ask me. But I can show you how it works, so you can see it yourself in Cocoon. And I know some people wouldn't like it because it's based on structured tests, but it's a good tool. I like it. We could ask the question, we know that a lot of projects are not successful in computing, the rate of over budget, over deadline, and just failed projects is amazing, incredible. But there are certain projects that work, and I think it's clear that communication is the key. Very often when you see a project failing, it's because communication is not working. I like the picture of the ants. If you take one ant individually, it's not very pretty, it's not very intelligent, and if you take a big number of ants communicating efficiently, it works. And that's how I see our community sometimes. If you come into a project, I think very often what will help you get up to speed are stories. We're doing this because someone said that. This morning Stefano told us a big part of the story of Cocoon, and this helps you a lot in understanding. And I think we need stories in our projects to help new people coming to the project to understand what's going on. And unfortunately, email and post-it notes glued to the screen are very often used for coordination and task management, and I think it's not working. Unfortunately, very often people believe that documentation would be the key, but we don't have documentation, so the project is failing. And I think it's much more about communication than documentation. Documentation is needed, clearly, but if you don't have communication, it doesn't work. And I think for your project to allow people to jump in, you need self-service information tools. Meaning that people must be able to answer these questions in a self-service way. without necessarily having to ask anyone around, who did that? And why is this feature here? And what happened while I was on vacation? You shouldn't have to ask your team colleagues to do that. You should find this information in self-service somewhere. Obviously, you will have to ask for clarifications or details, but the main information should come automatically. We will come back to these questions, but a big category is, what are we doing? It's not always clear on the project. It's often not clear, I would say. You could have three people get three different answers. And who knows what, who did that, who usually does that, these are important questions as well. What happened while I was away? 6 and 7, how are we doing? When will this be ready? This is usually the boss question or the customer question. We need to be able to answer that. And then the detailed questions, 8 and 9, who said what about this topic or that topic? And these are, in my view, the critical questions that you must be able to answer if you're working on a project. Let's start with the first part on the tools. I know the Cocoon committers might be bored by that, but maybe there are some people in the audience who don't know these tools very well. So let's go quickly over the tools to make sure everyone is on the same level of understanding. One critical tool for software development is CVS, or Code Versioning, Code Management System. I think you cannot do a software project today without Code Management System. Even if I'm working alone, I use CVS. This presentation, I use CVS to do it. It's so useful. I had several reviewers who look at the presentation, give their comments. Just being able to see the difference between versions brings you so much information. What you can do with CVS, on the left of the picture you see a log of CVS, the history of a file, very important, or what happened to a particular source file. And then on the top right you see the annotate feature of CVS, being able to know who wrote which line of code when. This is killer. You don't understand? Just look. Oh, okay. I know Christian wrote that on May 22. If I tell him that, oh yeah, I remember. He can tell me why and why it's here. And then on the bottom right you see the visual differences between source files and CVS, which are very helpful in understanding what's happening. So these are, for me, the most useful functions of CVS. Bugzilla is a system where you can enter issues. It's usually called a bug tracking system, but I consider it to be much more. You can use it to track any kind of issues in your project. And in some projects where I work, we use Bugzilla for everything, actually, including design discussions. How do we design this thing? We make a Bugzilla issue. Discussion takes place there. Then you can go back, have the whole history. Why did we do this way? Just look in Bugzilla. There's an entry about that. It doesn't work for all projects, but it can be a possibility. And it's much more structured information than mailing lists, for example. In Bugzilla, each entry refers to a component, to who reported the entry, you can subscribe to entries to be informed, you can assign priorities to them, it's very useful. The wiki is one of my favorite tools. I'm known in certain circles as the wiki man. It's a great tool. It's basically like a big whiteboard where everyone can scribble. And there's some organization to it. There's a lot of tabs. And you can add organization by making table of contents pages, track pages, which point to other pieces of information. Keeping a wiki alive is very hard. You need to watch what's happening and maybe reorganize when new people come in. But it can be a goldmine of information. And that's what's happening to some extent to the Cocoon Wiki. As Michael said, not all the information has been reviewed in some way. Sometimes it's not very accurate, or you have to check, but at least you can find it there. So Wiki is like a big whiteboard where everyone can write. The webinars, they're at a mode now. Lots of people are starting doing weblogs. And I think also, I'm not the only one, many people think that a project weblog can be very important. Just publishing news about your project, the main things that happened, the milestones. Today we reached this milestone, this work. And then you can go back and it feels good. Just, what did we do in April? Oh, remember in April we did that. It was good. Yes, I remember this story. Helps you put the project in perspective. So Project WebRock can be very useful tool, and it can be very low tech. I did a WebRock for a project where people just send a mail to a specific address and it gets into a WebRock automatically. Then it's sorted in chronological order, or you can search everything. People have no idea what a WebRock is, these people. They just send information, then they can see what happens. And it's been very useful for coordinating this team in this case. So these are the main tools that we're going to discuss. There are other tools. We are using other tools in Cocoon, but these are the four tools plus mailing lists. I assume everyone knows what a mailing list is, so I didn't go back to these. Now let's talk about what does each tool bring. What comes in, what goes out. The mailing list with archive. If you have a mailing list without archive, it's useless, I would say. It has almost no value for a project. Mailing list, archive mailing lists are like threaded broadcasts. When you send a message, everyone gets it, hopefully, and it's classified in threads. You can, based on the subject and the response headers, you can have a thread which separates discussions or issues. Hopefully, it doesn't work always reliably, depending on the mail time that people use. The main problem that I see with the mailing list is that the archives have very little structure. It can be very hard to find something in the mailing list. You know it's there, but it can take some time, 20 minutes searching, just to find the information. And mailing lists need a lot of discipline. If you have a team that's used to that kind of tools, they can be very effective. And starting with mailing lists in a team that has no idea about this is often sort of a failure. People tend to just stop using them because, I get too much junk, it's too much email, cannot use it. So it can be hard to introduce in a project for people who are not used to it. And they can give self-service help for many of the questions that just listed them here, if they were used. And what comes in, questions, answers, thoughts, noise, a lot of noise, depending on the discipline, a lot of noise comes into the mailing list and then you find it at the output. What you can get from the mailing list is knowledge, decisions, like votes, like we see on our community, and a lot of noise, unfortunately. What does CBS bring to our project, in my opinion? It's clear to share files. It's for us invaluable to be able to share the source code, and maybe someone is working on it. With CBS you can almost work on the same line of code or very close, and CBS just handles that, no problem. It's a very good tool for that. You have strict control, traceability of who did what. This is very helpful when you need to go back to a question. You want to ask someone about a particular feature. And I think, in my view, in this project view, CBS tells the story of the code. How did this code come into this shape? When did we change that? Or maybe this feature stopped working on May 22nd. Why? You can roll back very easily with CBS and recreate the previous version and find out the differences. So CBS gives help for three questions in my list. But it gives very reliable and critical help for these questions. In CBS, the inputs are the code changes and the change logs, what the message that you give when you do a commission CBS, and what comes out are change events. This is very important. Just getting a mail a few seconds after Silva makes a change to a class, everyone on Cocoon there knows it if you're watching the list. You get a change log which tells you exactly what happened to the file if we are careful about giving meaningful commands. You can see differences between versions of source files. This is killer if you want to know what happened. And this so-called blame info, which is you can find out exactly who committed which line of code. Doesn't mean they wrote that themselves, but at least you know from where it came. And this is very helpful in our project. We'll talk later about what the desert island tools are. So Zilla, Dynamic system stuff, queries, workflow, basically I encourage you to think about Bazil as much more as just an issues bugs management system. It can be much more. You can really handle all issues in your project. Workflow, simple workflow for documentation, reviews, and code reviews, and design decisions, and vacation planning if you want. But you can really do a lot with Bazil. It's traceable. Bugzilla, each discussion takes place on a single page, which means you can trace who said what, when, and why. You can go back. You can link fairly well in Bugzilla, and it's very useful too. You can attach files to the issues, which is often useful as well, and then you find the history. And if Bugzilla is used well, it also needs discipline. It could tell the story of the project in detail. And I'm working on an ongoing project which is fairly easy technically, but it's very mission critical for my customer, and it's been going on for 5 years now, and it's very useful to be able to go back. Why did we do that this way? Or, oh, we started in this direction and then we stopped, and why? Or can we go further? And this is the goldmine of information, especially if you were not here when this happened. You can find out. If I leave this project, people can go to Bugzilla and find out all the reasons why we did specific things. What comes into Bugzilla are new tasks, work orders. You can dispatch tasks very easily to people. This is killer when you are working on a deadline. You're short, and then you need to bring more people in the project. Usually it causes the project to fail. But if you can dispatch tasks effectively into people, it could work, and it happened to me. Solutions come into Bugzilla, resolutions of issues, of problems, of difficulties in programming. I don't know how to do that. It could be an issue, and then you find a solution in Bugzilla. And dependency, I'll talk about that later, but it's very useful. And what comes out on the right? List of tasks. What should I do today? What is urgent for the project? What is not? What would I like to do, depending on my skills and current mood? Critical tasks with dependencies, you can find out how can we manage to get this done as soon as possible. And solutions, obviously. For me, Bugzilla is a traceable issue resolution system. And traceable is very important in this context. Dependencies in Bugzilla. 1, 2, 4. I don't know if you can see it. Yeah, you should be able to see it. With Bugzilla dependency, you can say that an issue depends on another, meaning to resolve this one, I have to resolve this one first. And it generates then a very nice list. You see the dependencies in a tree form. You can even do that graphically if you configure it correctly. And you see for each issue, the crossed ones are done, the non-crossed are to do. And you see on each issue the name of who is this issue is assigned now. It's very helpful in telling you when it is going to be ready. You can tell why it's not ready, because we're waiting on this feature to be implemented. We were waiting on this bug to be fixed. We're waiting on these people to come back from vacation, because it shouldn't happen. But and this can help you find the critical part in your development team or project. Why is it not working now? And this has been very helpful. For example, when you say an issue could be put the read blocks into production, and then you can say, okay, what do we need to do that? We need to implement the class loader, implement the block deployer, implement the document the block so people can use it, and etc. But you could build the path that you need to take to successfully solve the problem that you have today. And Bugzilla also gives you dynamic status reports. It's very easy to do queries in Bugzilla. The form is layout is so, okay. But once you get used to it, it's very powerful. And you can save queries as saved queries or as a bookmark, and then you have your dynamic status reports for the project. The wiki is unstructured, that's a hard word, shared information, open access, everyone on the wiki can click on the page and say edit this page. You can connect it with an Apache password, but otherwise it's fully open. And everyone can edit. Edits are traceable on the wiki, and that's important, meaning you can go back. You know that the Cocoon wiki is fully open. We have I would say very or little cases of abuse of the wiki, and they've been solved very quickly because the mailing list gets the message, is notified, this document has changed, and someone looks and says, oh, this is not right, I'm going to change this back. So it's not as bad as it could seem to have a fully open system. And for Cocoon, it has brought much more advantages than disadvantages. Wiki empowers users. People with very little knowledge can add information to your knowledge base, if it's wiki-based. And this has been a very nice effect for the Cocoon team. Self-service help for the wiki depends on what you put in. It's completely free-form, so you could even use the Twist Wiki to use it as an issue tracking system if you want. It wouldn't be optimal, but it would be possible, certainly. So wiki, you see what comes in, goes out, contains links and attachments, which can be pictures or files, anything. And then our last tool, the Project Weblog, can be condensed news and public information. I could imagine, for example, that maybe you don't want to give a customer access to your internal wiki because there might be a lot of junk in it, but you might want to give the customer access to your project weblog. And this would be the official information, what's going on in the project. And you try, someone in the team or a few people are in charge of adding information to the weblog regularly, every day or every other day, saying, how are we doing, what problems. I also do projects with students, and diploma work and stuff, and I always ask them from a weekly 3P report. Problem, not problem. Progress, problems, and perspective. What have you done? What problems did you have? And what is your outlook for the next week? And this is something you can do on a web blog. Telling your customer, your team, your boss, whatever, whoever, what happened, good, bad, and what's going to happen in the project. And this is where I see very good use of the weblog. If you're using RSS feeds and news readers, it can be very easy to follow what's going on the weblog without being overwhelmed or without having to go there and look every day. And the weblog can build a very nice project story all the time. So if people come in the project, can just go read the weblog and okay, that's how a project goes on, and that's what happens. It will help them a lot get up to speed with what you're doing. These are my desert island tools. It can be different for other people. There's no one way to do projects. But for me, CVS, if you're writing code, you need a code management system. You cannot drive nails without a hammer. Try with your... I can. And Bazilla for me is a second desert island tool. I can work, and I have a team where we work with Bazilla exclusively, almost no mail. Almost all communication goes through Bazilla. And it's amazing. It's a small team. We're about 5 people. It might not work with a 100 people team, but it's been amazingly efficient. And mailing lists, we know that they work, but they require a lot of discipline. Writing good subjects, agreeing on maybe codes in the subject so you can filter out information in an easier way, quoting, not too much quoting and so on. This is something that you need to run. It works very well in Apache community, but for newbies, it often takes some time to get used to what you can do or what you should not do in the main. Okay, so this was a view of what these tools can bring to your project, and if you think about it, there's very little specific to computers. Okay, CVS. If you're building a building like that, you won't need CVS. But Bugzilla could help a lot, and MailKit and Weblog could help a lot in coordinating any kind of project. And this is very interesting because it shows that I'm always amazed that complex buildings. Okay, this one was built a long time ago, but modern buildings can be very complex, and yet the projects usually work. There might be a slight overcost, a slight over deadline, but usually they work fairly well. And why shouldn't computing projects work? We have to find out what the critical tools are for that. In this third part discussion, I'd like to go more specifically to cocoon. How are we doing? In my view, again, we can have maybe a discussion about that after, and what could be improved. And I think for these seven questions, we're doing good. What are we doing? We know. It might be a hard one to answer exactly what is cocoon, but we work out on communicating on the list in documentation, find out it, so that everyone has the same idea of what we are doing. Who knows what? It's fairly easy to answer in cocoon. Right? Just look at the mailing list archive, the CBS comments, you can tell pretty much who knows what. Who usually does what? It's about the same. Who did what precisely? Of CBS, logs, and blame, annotate info will tell us who did what precisely, except that committers often act also as proxies for non-committers, but the committer will know from where the code came. What happened while I was away? We're doing okay, I'd say. You can look at the mailing list. It's a lot of work. When you come back for a 3 week vacation, going through 3,000 messages and finding out the five that you need to read, takes a lot of time. But at least we can do it. Could be improved, probably. Who gave which comment on what on that topic? I'd say so. It works with the mailing list, but we could use better search tools or better classification tools in the list. Wasn't this said before? It's about the same thing. So, and the result is that the cocoon team works. We're producing good software, and we're attracting 130 people at the conference, which is a good sign. There are two questions that, in my opinion, are hard to answer. How are we doing, you know, time-wise, deadline-wise, and when will this be ready? I think in this case, we have an excuse. It's hard for open source projects to set precise deadlines, because you don't know, just there's no commitment from people on how many hours they are going to work, how much energy. Sylvain was working, I'm taking Sylvain, I don't know, he's my friend, he speaks French, so I'm taking Sylvain as an example. He was working a lot on Woody recently, and he did big things in Woody. Maybe now he's going for vacation for 1 month, and nothing happens. He's not, but he might. But I think this is a problem that we have. It's not in a company. In a company, you know when people are going to be working or not, except if they're sick. But it's usually you know. And in our project, it's hard to know. So this makes it harder for us to set precise deadlines. But I think if we could use more Godzilla, for example, Godzilla dependencies to find out when is this going to be ready. Like when we do a release. The release itself could be an issue in Godzilla. Then we say, what do we need for this release to be ready? Okay, we need to have the code, we need to have this bug fixed, and the samples tested, and some documentation updates and so on. This could help us in the being more precise on scheduling and deadlines. But basically, 7 out of 9 questions, we can answer them in self-service way very good. Which means, and that's one of my important messages of today, we can use this type of work, of way of working in other projects. And it's been very successful for me and for a lot of us, I guess. So if you're coming today and not familiar with this, could be a good way of getting familiar with the open source world. Just trying to use more of these tools in your day-to-day work. Other improvements. Possible improvements that I see in cocoon. The usual way in a company would be to say, okay, we need more Monday morning staff meetings. This project is not working. When you need more meetings, it's usually a bad time. I don't like that. So I don't think we need that. Shared test scenarios and reports. This is something important, I think. Our testing is not very traceable in cocoon. When we do release, we expect people to have tested stuff. Or to say, hey, I tested this, it doesn't work. But it might be good to have like some test scenarios in CVS, on Berkeley, I don't know where we can check, okay, I've tested that, this is something we could improve. A project weblog, if someone is willing to do that, just have minimal information on what is going on. We had discussions recently on the list about better change notes, and this goes in the same direction. Having specific information which tells people what happened since the last release, but they don't want to see millions of love messages, just the overall picture. Instant messaging, using more IRC, something like that. This morning, after, maybe I should say that first. Yesterday at the hackathon, Carsten suggested that we should close as much Bugzilla bugs as possible. Yesterday morning we had 108 issues open in our list, and we didn't have much time to do that because we spent most of the day talking about very important stuff. But in little more than 1 hour we were able to close a lot of these issues, and now we're down to 63, I think. And this morning David Crossley on the list mailed and said it might be good that we do a regular hackathon, virtual hackathon, to, you know, meet virtually once a month and use RFC to coordinate over list and do that more on a more regular schedule. So this is something that we have to think about. There's one other thing that I'd like to touch, which is fairly specific to Cocoon as far as I know. It's the RT, Random Talks. It's a well-established practice in Cocoon on the dev mailing list, especially, that everyone is allowed to send an RT to the list, meaning Random Talks. I have this wild idea. What if we would do it this way, or what if we would make an operating system out of Cocoon? This came up once, and it gives you ideas. It might give you new directions. And it's very efficient, and I think in any project we should encourage people to do that. Just share your wild thoughts openly. And sometimes you get a slap on the hand. It has to be done in a nice way, but it happens. And it also helps people getting to know each other. Okay, besides normal work of fixing bugs, what are your wild dreams? And this is something that I like very much in Cocoon. They also improve community, because we share also not only about the day-to-day boring stuff sometimes, but also about, you know, dreams and wild ideas. And I think this is something that we must keep up in Cocoon. Be kind with people when they do an RT. Get some feedback, even if you don't understand what it's about, and try to keep this rolling. I think it's very good. And also on a side note, the written communication, when you're communicating only in written form, it's a very poor form of communication. And we say maybe just 5% of your thoughts really actually going, especially the emotional stuff. If you're angry or sad or disappointed or happy, it's hard to convey this precisely in writing. So some rules, we have to talk to think about that every time we write, and you might know about the two email patterns. I think it was invented by Stefano. When you're angry at someone, you write first email and you say everything you want to say. And then you just erase it and start a new one. And then give you a much better point of view. Or think about how would the issue be solved if you were around the same table. Much, much easier than just writing. So we have to be very careful about what we write, and very understanding of what other people write often doesn't mean what you think it means. So ask for clarification before claiming. And it helps. And this is also something that works very well in the Cocoon mailing list. We have little fights, we have some good fights sometimes, why not? But respect is very important. So in conclusion, these are just great tools. As I said, it doesn't have to be Bugzilla, but an issue tracking tool is very important for your project. A code management tool you cannot do without a code management tool. And the weblog can be very useful. Mailing lists are good if you have discipline to use them well. And the wiki is very good for building a knowledge base organically. For the Cocoon team, we have sometimes it's hard for us to answer the when question, when is it going to be ready. We have to think about it, and we should, I think we should think about the traceability of our tests, have ideally automated tests or at least test scenarios that we can reliably trace if they've been run or not. I think we could use, make better use of Flexzilla in Cocoon. We also saw the limits yesterday when many people are working together. How do we do when an issue is 5 months old, it hasn't been touched? Do we close it or not? Maybe we need some more discussions on the way we use and handle Flexzilla issues. This, if you remember just one thing from my talk, please remember these questions, or please remember that there are 9 questions and you can find them in the paper, or tell me if you have other questions that you think are important, this would be good. There's a small graphic that shows my view of which tools answer which questions. Again, it depends on how you're using the tools. Thanks to these people, we work together with SmartBlockchain to set up especially the questions list. Several people from the Cocoon team have reviewed this. Thanks very much. Thanks to the Get Together team for having us here. And finally, you have on paper the reference on these tools that I mentioned in the talk. This is it for me. And I'm open for questions or discussions if you have time.
Whoever modified it or recently, I think when we moved from Cocoon 2.0 to 2.1, a new module was created. And thereby that basically erased the whole history. Are there any plans to do that in the near future?
There are plans to do that, but without erasing the whole history. This was a quick. The plan is to, you know, we can do a new module and just copy the whole stuff into it, and I think that's how we do it.
Thank you.
Other questions? No questions? Stefano?
You know, I'm just amazed by this, you know, pair programming tool. Do you think, what is your personal opinion on using more synchronous technology?
Sub-ETA editing, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just to explain what we're doing here, we've been documenting the discussions with this tool called Sub-ETA Edit.
Might be the note takers.
Formerly known as Tiger. Well, show it to you.
Sure, I can edit it.
Might be the actual note takers of the event. I see them sitting, and I know who they are, but... There's Jeremy there, who has been taking notes, there's Rohit Peters, who has been taking notes, and Stefano, Petra, and I have been, well, I've just been jumping down some quick things, but...
Okay, so here you see,
just
get rid of the other one. Here you see this tool, and these people on the right are actually writing these documents together at the same time. Maybe you can do a little demo for people working on that. Basically, you're just several people writing on the same page. And I think Stefan is right, this could be killer for us to work simultaneously and code, pair programming, but distant, you know. So,
No, I think that's a problem. Synchronous technology really requires synchronization. In my view, I think it would be killer for something like this. I mean, imagine having an Eclipse plugin that allows you to edit code like this. It exists, but it's really tough. You know?
it would be a great tool. I think one of the things which also makes our community work is that all the tools that I talked about are asynchronous. We don't need to arrange a meeting with the people to do that. But when we can arrange a meeting, just get up on IRC and say, oh, I'm going to work on the cloud loaders for the real blocks. Anyone wants to collaborate with me? And we can do that kind of thing. It would be incredible. It's certainly something we should look into.
We should try, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there could be a problem about creating clusters of people that are in the same time zone.
Mm-hmm.
And since Cocoon today is mostly a European effort, that might prevent other people from other parts of the world
yeah.
to join effectively. So we should not use these tools as primary tools, but just as like helping tools.
Yeah, additional tools, that's right. The asynchronous thing is very important for Cocoon to work. It means you have a, you feel like working on Cocoon on Saturday, you don't need to care if anyone's there or not, you can
exactly.
work. But if there are people out there or we have a difficult problem, it could be killer to be able to work pair or several people on the same thing.
Okay, thank you very much, Bertrand.
Thank you.